Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode, number 58. Lee's, making a run to the store right now, so he'll be in here, you know, any moment. He's got to get those Milky Ways, you know, on deck for the show. Possibly with a Gatorade, maybe that Blue Mountain Freeze, possibly that Cool Blue, maybe a G2. I'm not sure exactly what kind of drinks he'd like to have with him. Maybe even crack open a beer for this episode. I don't know. But anyways, we in here tonight. We got a big UFC card this weekend. It's going to be beautiful. I got my boy, the number one most dominant champion in the UFC, Tyron Woodley, going to defend the belt and continue a very, very dominant title reign. Darren Till, he's a good fighter, but it's not enough, young boy. I was looking at the tail of the tape earlier with the picture of the two of them, and I just seen them. And I was like, man, Darren Till, you got all that height, but you looking small up there. That's all but all you got. You got reach and height, but you looking small up there, boy. So, you know my boy Willie's going to go to work. Lee knows that, too. But you don't want to admit it. Lee, you out there, bro?
Yo, what up, man?
Yeah, and I let them know you were on a run to the store to go get you some cashews and a Gatorade before the show.
Okay, so first of all, this most dominant champion thing, this has to stop. Basically, he only had two title defenses. Before Steven Wonderboy twice and Damian Maia. So how does that equal most dominant champion? I just want to know. I mean, you only defended the belt against two guys, so how is that most dominant? Now, if you would have said Stipe most dominant, I could go on with you. You said DJ most dominant, I could roll with you. If you said John Jones when he was the champ most dominant, I could roll with you. But really, Tyron Woodley, two title defenses, I can't roll with you on that.
Yeah,
but,
you know.
But I have to say this, though. What episode are we on?
This is episode number 58.
All right, episode 58. I'm going to send a shout-out to Nike today. Nike did a big thing yesterday by basically throwing their hat in to support Colin Kaepernick yesterday,
yeah,
making him the face of their 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign. And, you know, that's a big deal. You know, the NFL have ostracized Colin Kaepernick, and just to see a major company actually throw their hat in the ring and support him, you know, I want to send a shout out to Nike.
Yeah, you know, I was actually just reading about that probably like half hour ago, and they didn't pull up the real article. It was one of those clickbait things. And they told, like, half the story but didn't really show me the front cover or whatever it was. I seen a picture. I seen Kaepernick's face, so I knew what it was about before I actually really read it. But it didn't really tell me that much about it. But you just gave me enough of a lowdown right there, so I don't really need to jump into it or read an article or nothing tonight. But the Nike, that's dope, because I was mad at the NFL that they wouldn't re-sign Kaepernick. I was hoping that he was going to – maybe the New York Jets would have picked him up. He could come over to our division. Or maybe – I don't know. There was a couple things in mind that I had for Kaepernick that could have happened. But now he played for the 49ers, so now they got – what's his name over there? The guy that want to be Tom Brady, I forget. But, man, anyways, before
G.
I get too off topic. Yeah, that guy. Before I get
Hold on. Before you move on, let me say this. You remember when LeBron left Cleveland, how people were burning his jersey and stuff? You know, a lot of people was like, damn, that's kind of messed up. How about it was people burning their Nike gear today because Nike back in Colin Kaepernick? It was people on Twitter like burning their tennis shoes, their Nike apparel, you know, cutting everything. If they had something that was Nike, they would cut their Nike swoosh off. I mean, and then one person even had the nerve to say, Nike should have made J.J. Watt the face of their campaign because he's a good human being. I'm like, what did Kaepernick do that made him a bad human being? It's like, come on, y'all, a lot of people don't really know what Kaepernick, why he did what he did, and they're just being, swayed by, you know, the people that don't support him. And I'm not saying everybody has to support him, but I'm saying everybody does have to be aware of police brutality, social and racial inequality, and things like that. And that's all Kaepernick was saying. He didn't never say that he was disrespecting the flag, that he didn't like the military, or none of that stuff. He actually got the idea to take a knee from a veteran, a U.S. Army veteran. So, people, before you jump to conclusions about what Kaepernick's stance is, do your research and go to his original interview where he explained his stance. And if you're out there burning your Nike stuff, how about instead of burning it, why don't you donate it to the veterans' homes for the veterans that everybody say that he's disrespected. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And, you know, our show, we do talk, we do touch on things like this, but we really don't want to make it the basis of our show. But I just want to shout out Nike, and to those people that's out there burning their Nike gear, do your research. And if that stuff means that much to you, instead of burning it, donate it to a homeless center, your local thrift store, your local art, or if you see a veteran or a homeless person on the side of the street, give it to them instead of burning it. Put it to good use. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Wow. Well, so Lee, so we talked about this many times. Lee's not very well-versed in the battle rap community, but there's a term, and I'm not going off topic. You better hear this. There's a term in the battle rap community. You know, if Rodney was in here, he would love this reference, but it's called a haymaker, and which is it's a really big moment. You know, it's a really big punchline, something that really, really hits hard. The crowd usually erupts when the line hits. Something that's just electrifying. It just, like, takes the roof off the building. It's just an incredible moment, and it was an unbelievable line in the battle. And that's called a haymaker, and that's what Lee just put on there right there. You know, if we were to have what's-his-face who drops a bomb on it, I forget what that DJ's name is, but he drops a bomb on the record when it's really a dope record. I forget. But, yeah, if he was in here, he would have to – Funk Flex. We need Funk – yeah, we need Funk Flex to drop a bomb on what Lee just said right there, because that was fire. That was a bar. Because the thing is that people are so worried about things going viral and proving their point by getting the views on the internet. So they rather go and burn a jersey or a logo or something to get attention instead of actually trying to go make a difference about something. So if you're not actually out there and applying the things, the messages that you're trying to get across on the internet, if you're not out there trying to apply it or push for that, you know, push that side of the coin out in the real world, then what are you really doing? You're just besides looking for attention. So, and I think that it kind of coincides with what Lee was saying. That's not the point he was trying to make, but it's a parallel to it, because people, they get mad at things that they supposedly stand for. So you want to burn a jersey for the statement you're trying to make. But how come, you know, if you feel so offended in saying that, you know, this guy, you know, is offended the veterans or people, you know, of the armed services, et cetera, then why not donate the jersey? If you don't, if you disrespect it and you might want to see the response it gets, then why not, you know, send your jersey out? You don't need to go viral on the internet to make your stance known and to feel that kind of validation from, you know, other people to stir up hate. If you're really about something and trying to make a change somewhere, then I don't see how the internet is helping you with that. That's how I feel about it. And shout out to Kaepernick, because I always was a fan of that guy. You know, even when he was in the Super Bowl, even then, I thought Kaepernick was going to be good. And then it just seemed like, you know, he had a couple years, and then you know, things kind of slowed down. And then after that time, the whole mess with the national anthem come, and then now he blackballed from the NFL. So it's kind of hard to see where his career might have been able to go. No, I thought he had potential as a player too. Plus, you know, as a voice, I think he's his voice is powerful, and I think that a positive voice like that on the opposite side is a very underrated thing in this day and age. People like to try to throw shade on those, you know, the one person that's trying to stand out against a crowd of 100 or 1,000. Or 10,000, you want to all throw shade and trash that one person, but you don't realize that that person is standing alone against everybody, and they're not asking for anything in return for it, you know, versus everybody else on the opposite side who seeks validation for the beliefs that they supposedly hold, you know, amongst each other. That one person don't mind standing out, so I think that person sitting on the other side, person like Kaepernick, is underrated in today's society, and it doesn't, you know, get nearly the respect that they deserve. One of my cousins actually has Kaepernick's jersey in like a frame on his wall in his house. He framed the jersey and he has it in his house. I forget if they did that or if it was like a rug or something. They did something with the jersey. It was like a welcome mat into their house. So it was either it's on the floor or it's in a picture frame up on the wall. But yeah, he get respect on our side, and Nike probably gets a little bit more respect now too because of that. I'll look more into the article after.
But you know, man, it's like I just wanted to get that off my chest, man, because there was a lot of negativity on Twitter today. You know, that's the only social media I do is Twitter. I mean, I'm on Instagram only because Instagram, if you don't have an account, then you can't open up attachments on Twitter if you don't, you know, that somebody might post on Instagram. But it was just a lot of negativity today talking about Nike. You know, people talking about Nike stocks going to drop and they're going to lose customers. And then, you know, man, it's just stuff like that. And I just think a lot of people just aren't aware of his stance, and they're going off what they are hearing instead of what he actually said out of his mouth. That's why I want people to actually go and listen to the first interview he did when they asked him about why he's kneeling or sitting for the national anthem. And he explained it very, very clearly, his stance. And he's been saying his position the few times he has talked, but President Trump has hijacked this quote-unquote national anthem protest and made it into something that's unpatriotic and all this and all that. But, you know, man, that ain't what our show about. You know, I ain't want to get off topic, but I just wanted to dedicate the show to Nike and, you know, their stance. And, you know, me and my man Keys, you know, we talk about stuff like this here and there. You know, we talked about I'm Not a Racist video. We talked about the school shootings, you know, what we can do to try to prevent that. You know, on that same show, we talked about gun control, why the NRA is always quiet on things that, you know, about mass shootings. They never, ever have an opinion or a statement. You know, we talk about stuff like this, and I just wanted to bring light to it. And thank you, Keys, for letting me get this off my chest. And, you know, like my man Keith said, we got a big UFC event coming up this weekend. Hopefully we'll be able to jump on Friday, the night before the UFC event. We're still working it out, you know, the logistics of it, because my man Keith is back in school. So shout out to him. About to finish up and get his degree and graduate and move on to bigger and better things. And, you know, life is good. Life is good. Living a positive, man. Living a positive. Positive people. With positive energy, yeah, positive results. Live your life by that rule. So what's up, man? What's on your mind tonight?
So I love that quote, by the way. We said that, you know, you said it, and we Yeah. You said it, and then somebody else said it too, like in the same show or something like that. And I remember we had to run it back, and we said it again at the end because it was like so amazing. Yeah, you said positive people with positive energy yield positive results. Yeah, so that's amazing. You know, we have a caller on the line right now, and I was going to get into what I want to get into, but I'm going to jump, you know, him or her into the call right now and see what they might want to get into. Maybe they have a comment on what we were just talking about. So let's see what's going on with them. Yo, who we got on the line tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Lee and Keith? It's your boy Yaz over here.
What up, dog?
What up, guys? How you doing?
Yo, this is my
favorite. How you doing,
bro? You know what? I can't even say that on the air because every caller should be my favorite caller. But this is one of my favorite callers. What's up, Yaz?
No, bad, brother. How you doing, Lee?
Oh, man, I'm maintaining, man. You know, man, just enjoying life, man, enjoying the summer. My brother's out here visiting me this week, and, you know, life is good, man. So what's on your mind, bro? Talk to us.
Yeah, man. Talk to you guys. All right. Yeah, so I don't know if I'm steering you guys off topic or not, but I have a thing I want to get off my chest and what's been going on the last couple of days.
That's it.
Get it off.
This whole back and forth with my boy MGK and my boy Eminem. Oh, this topic. This topic, I don't know how much you guys have been following it. I don't know what you guys have been following on it, but this has been I shouldn't say that word. This stuff's been getting very live recently on what's been going on between them. And
yeah, man,
we don't.
Yeah, we don't need a cuss on our show. You right? Yeah, we very lightly cuss on our show, so we appreciate that. Yeah, go ahead.
No problem.
Keep going.
Hey, I know how you guys are the boss of like to throw that fuck the F word around. I know how I go, man. It's all cool.
Nah.
Hey, but look, yeah, man, look. Hey, look, man. I'm gonna give you the floor right now because I haven't listened to Eminem joint yet,
but I did listen
to a snippet of MGK. But
I
have to say
that I
really did like MGK flow. I like the venom he came with. I like the way that he had a little bit of attitude in it. He had a little bit of swag in it, but I haven't heard Eminem. But from what I understand, Eminem is in the studio cooking up some gumbo for MGK.
I highly doubt Eminem is going to respond back to him.
Yeah, but I saw.
You don't
think
Eminem
going to
respond?
Honestly, man, I can't see it happen.
I did see a picture. Somebody reposted and sent it to me. It was a picture of a screenshot of somebody else's picture they sent to me asking me how I felt about it. And it was a picture of Eminem standing next to DJ Who Kid. They were about to go in the studio. I think that was like on an Instagram page or something like that. And that was like a new post. So I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's in the studio. I have no idea. I still haven't even heard his album. How's the album?
But I agree with Yaz, though. Why go at MGK, though, for real? I mean, to me, that's... No. No disrespect to MGK. No disrespect at all. But I'm saying Eminem said what he said on his album. 10 times out of 10, he stands by what he said. So, of course, it's going to be like the Kendrick Lamar thing, the Control versus Kendrick did. Everybody overreacted to what he said, when basically if you listen to what he said, all the thing he was saying was, let's make rap hot again. Let's all compete with each other, bar for bar,
no,
la, 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 la.
No, It ain't like that. No. MGK destroyed Eminem's. No, MGK destroyed Eminem's life. Like, he went in on his ex. He went in on Kim. He went in on Haley. Like, talking about both of them. He got their family involved in it. You know, MGK had no remorse whatsoever.
You see,
he literally just Eminem's whole life from all the way from 8 Mile to where he's at current day. You know, like, calling him, like, basically said, why don't try to make me look up to you. You're 5'4" and I'm 6". He's like, you're 5'6" and I'm 6'4". Something. He's big. I'm looking down on you. Don't make me try to look up on you.
Okay. So yes.
What up?
Do you think Eminem should respond? And if you think do you think he should? And tell us why. And if you think he shouldn't, tell us why.
Okay. Now let me say this point right here. That's kind of is relevant to that one. So I believe that yes, MGK should respond. I mean, Eminem should respond. Only reason why I say so, though, and I highly doubt he will, but the only reason I say so, as long as it just sticks to music and nothing goes on in the background, like, you know, they're trying to come at each other, you know, keep it back to the old school days where, like, you know, you diss people on a track, like, you want to take your beef, take it in the studio, don't take it on the street. You know, we haven't had a real. When was the last time you heard a real rap? What is it, like, a bat? You know, disrespectful, like, two out, like Meek Mill and Drake, like, back to back. That was the only real time when they two artists that didn't like each other at the time just went off on each other and literally went back to back. You know, with their songs. And they actually made some hot lyrics, and, you know, now you got content for your followers. But also on top of it, it gets the hype going. Take it to the studio, don't take it to the streets, and, you know, and it provides us with good content too. Because now we're bumping this stuff. Like, I've been bumping MGK's Rap Devil all day today in my headphones. I've been the flow, like, it's just crazy what he says. It's like, he's so lyrical with it. And don't get me wrong, I love Eminem. He's a legend. I would love to see Eminem tear MGK up for what he said. And if Eminem don't respond, then is he really, like how are you not going to respond to somebody that actually went at you, your family, like, going at your past and your future? I know you're like, all right, yeah, I might be bigger than this. I've been in the game longer. Screw him and whoever he is, you know, but... You know, you just dropped the album dissing a lot of artists, and one, I'm not going to mention his name, but one guy that's on 94.5 absolutely demolished all of them, and you know, all the new school rappers, and you expect not to get any response back, and then once you do get response back, you're not going to say it, you're not going to comment back on it. You know, like, you have to have a comeback. Like, you can't go back underground. What was the last song he had? Recovery? Well, no, not Recovery. What was that album Eminem last had? The Berserk on it. The freaking, the rock stuff he had. He won rock.
Nah, that
album.
Was, nah, the Berserk.
What
I
is
think
that?
Was, Mastermathers 2.
Mastermathers 2, yeah, that was absolutely trash. Absolutely trash. All right, but let me do, like, I don't know where he was going with that, but that's off topic. So I'm saying this guy recently releases a real album, and he gets somewhat relevant at this point. Like, he starts getting more relevant. Getting away, like, whatever that thing was, LP2, that should be LP garbage. Like, that shouldn't even have been in the question. That, like, what he released now, Kamikaze, that was a real Kamikaze, bro. He dropped heat on these rappers. New school, he rocked with that old school too, but in that new school sense. He incorporated all that in one album, which I absolutely love.
Yes.
Then now,
yes.
Yeah, what up?
Let me ask you a question real quick. So, Eminem came out with Kamikaze, and he came, you know, he, according to you, because I haven't listened to it yet, but I trust your word because me and you basically have the same taste in hip-hop. So,
yep.
If you take Kamikaze... And K.O.D., did you listen to J. Cole K.O.D.? Yeah. So are they both basically on the same level as far as the lyrics and the subject matter? Because J. Cole did the same thing on KOD. You know, he came at a lot of new school guys. You know, his lyrics were on point. So would you say they're in the same category, or would you say?
Honestly, I can't really say in the category because they're both two different, like completely different artists. That's the one thing. But
okay, I got you.
What
I
would
you.
Say,
I got
what I would say though is that if did they have the same sense in mute and like how they like portrayed the music? I would say not really, because Eminem went a lot more with that new school stuff, like famous, like very very well known verses, lines in like certain songs with I forget, it's a couple of the new school artists that like
I think I know what you're saying, because the snippet that I heard from one of the records that someone sent me, a snippet of one of the records from Eminem's album, and he was copying the flows from a lot of popular songs from these artists.
Yes,
where J.
Yes,
Cole
exactly.
Had lyrics, and he said, you know, little whatever your name is kind of thing. So you could tell who he was talking about in the lyrics. You knew he was calling people out. But Eminem was using people's flows, popular. Like he did, like the snippet I heard, Eminem had like the Migos. I forget what song from the Migos, but the Raindrop Drop Top song. He had that one.
Oh, shit.
He had the flow
Raindrop
of that.
Drop top, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah
he did that, and he was mimicking that.
Yeah, he was mimicking the
so that's
flow.
How
he was calling. He called. Yeah. Oh my god, he
was
mimicking the flow and everything. Exactly.
I think that's what
Yaz
is trying to say. Is that like? Yeah, I got you.
Can y'all tell me the name of that song? Can somebody give me the name of that song so I can listen to it immediately after this show goes off?
What song?
I'm very interested now. The one that you said when he was mimicking everybody flow.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me the name of it so I can listen to it. Because I like, because even when I think on Rap God, when he came back on Rap God, he was like using different people. He was using like flows from other rappers and shit. And I thought it was hype. Excuse me, audience. You know, I don't like the cuss on the show. But that was appropriate at the time. But I like the way he did Rap God, too. but I'm going to put it to you like this. Rap beefs are good when the lyrics are good. And I know me and Keys talked about this earlier when we had Pusha T and Drake when they had their little thing. And our favorite Pusha and Keys' favorite Drake, because Keys felt Drake was more lyrical. But me, being a old-school hip-hop head, always felt diss tracks should be hard, raw. You know, you attack a guy. You know, you may do some under-the-belt stuff. And as long as it's hot, I'm with it. I think MGK, man, when I heard MGK joint, man, I was like, yo, he really coming at him, man. He really coming at him. Then if you look at the little bootleg video, he all dirtied up. He got a shovel on his shoulder. Man, dog, I was like, yo, MGK, man, he about that business right now. But
hey,
this thing could do one or two But this thing could do one or two things for MGK. It could make MGK a star, or if M comes out with another song, if M comes out and responds and crushes him, MGK career is over.
Okay. So look at this. All right. So I think that one thing that I speculate about this is that, because I did watch the MGK video, the Rap Devil video earlier. That was one of the only pieces of this whole thing I've seen, just that. And then someone sent me a snippet of, like, Eminem doing the Migos flow. And the thing that I speculate about it is this, is that with the speed of which that, I don't know how long Eminem's album been out. I don't really check for him that fast. Like, if I listen
Friday
to his
night.
Shit, like,
Friday night. Friday night.
All right.
It
so,
came out
all right, I heard
Saturday,
you.
Saturday midnight.
Okay, so, all right, so yo, it's been out for
wait,
like
yo, can I cut
3 days.
Can I cut you off real quick? Because I just figured this
nah,
out.
Nah, I didn't get to my point. Oh, I didn't get to my point.
Go ahead.
All I was just saying is the speed that MGK dropped the video just makes me wonder, because I know, like, there's not that much, like, from what I saw, there's not that much in the video. It's not like it's, like, a high-budget video or anything. But still, the fact that he responded within a few days with a music video response, usually you don't see stuff like that. Like, when people drop diss records, they usually don't drop a music video with a diss record. The fact that he went to that extent in such a short amount of time, it makes me wonder about – I feel like MGK heard Eminem's album before it came out, because I don't know how he would turn around. Yeah, yes, because I feel like he had this for longer, because how you have dropped it instantly after the – I mean, would he even listen to his album? Like, it's kind of like when you had the Joe Budden and Drake thing, and then people didn't understand. It looked like Joe Budden was dissing Drake all these times, and Drake never even dissed him. People don't realize that Joe Budden heard the record with Drake in French Montana, where he said the pump it up thing. Joe Budden heard that before, when it was in the making in the studio, so it wasn't released yet. It looked like Budden dissed first, really Drake did. It's just that Joe Budden heard the record before it was released to the public. So that's what I'm speculating might have happened here with MGK. He might have heard the Eminem album before it came out and heard his name on it, and then was already in the making with the video and everything as the thing was releasing.
So basically what you're saying, Keys, is basically MGK already, he may have already known about the track before the album even dropped, and he went into attack mode maybe like within the next 8 to 10 hours and had a little video put together within the next day. And then it'll look like, all right, I got you.
Yeah, so it looked like he responded right off the bat, and he come out swinging, and then we're all, like, blown away, like, damn, MGK really coming out swinging. Because now look at the response he's getting. You got everybody being like, damn, he really did the most with the video. Like, I'm really feeling this song. But it looks like he turned around and did it in 3 hours. But I really think that he did it in, like, probably a week or something, and he probably put more time into it. Because if you're going to write a diss track to Eminem, you probably want to take your time and make sure it's going to get the proper reception when it comes out from the public, because Eminem is not an easy target to get up to bat with. So you got to make sure your lines are going to be landing, and clearly it's resonating with people. The hit is there.
Keith, I want to comment on that.
Go ahead, yeah. Go ahead, yes.
I want to comment on that, but I'm gonna just give it 1 second. This is the name of the song, before I keep on forgetting. The name of the song on the Kamikaze is called Not Alike. And that's also where he disses MGK on Not Alike.
Okay.
He took the beat from Drake, Not Alive. Look Alive.
Uh-huh.
You know that's so he took the flow and everything from there too. So that's a good one, and he did a feature with Jonah Lucas. Did you hear about that one?
Oh, my son. Oh, my God. My son has been playing that song since Saturday morning all the way up to the day.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you heard about that one.
That's my son's song right now. He was like, Dad, Eminem got Jonah Lucas on this joint. And I was like, wow, Jonah? He was like, yeah. I was like, wow. He was like, damn, it's so hot.
Hey, Lee, I want you to check out that one, Not Alike, and I want you to check out The Ringer. And check out those two. Next time I talk to you, I want you to let me know what you think of those two. The Ringer is where he disses all the current rappers today.
Ringer and Not Alike.
Right, now, exactly. And Keith, to get to your point, bud. I believe, and this is my speculation on it, because to write such a hit song and get that deep about Eminem in a matter of, and he dropped the, I think he dropped Red, what is it? Rap Devil. I'm pretty sure he dropped that the same day, if not the next, as soon as Kamikaze was dropped. So I believe, and this is just my speculation, is that Eminem sent a snippet to him, or had it leaked, had somebody send a snippet to him, just to stir up the pot. Be like, yo, you're in for something. And then he was like, oh, hell no. Once he dropped this, I'm ready to drop this. And then, you know, he's probably already done with the whole song and everything. He's like, you know what? He's like, screw it. This is gonna be a hit. Let me record a music video with it. And by the time he already dropped the song, he's probably just finishing up the music video, and then he ended up dropping the music video. But I have a feeling somebody that works with Eminem, or at least Eminem himself, ended up sending a snippet over, being like, back up or this will get dropped. And probably MGK was like, he's like, you'll regret it if you drop it, or something like that. And that's how the pot got stirred up right there. And that's how he's already prepared. He was like, Eminem's prepared, he's going to get prepared. That's the only way I can think about how it happened so quick.
Well, because people eat that shit up. Like, when you drop something, like when you drop something, people eat that up so quick. Like the timeliness is a huge thing in rap, in the world of rap. Timeliness, like, you have to be quick. People eat that up. When you have, like, because when people get excited about, oh, someone, they know, name drop somebody on a record, they want somebody to respond. Like, in their mind, you want someone to respond as fast as possible. And that's exactly what MGK did. He executed with a good song in an interesting video that riled people up, and it was so quick. Now everybody loves it that much more. Came right back up to the plate and swung out of the park. MGK.
You know why? Out of the park, home run. I feel like the hype is there. And Lee or Keith, comment on this if you think I'm wrong. I think the hype is all there. This whole thing is because who would, like, nobody has ever really went at Slim Shady, Eminem like this in a long time. In a long time, nobody has ever went at his neck and dropped a whole track, even with a video and a chorus about him and his life, disrespecting him. Absolutely disrespecting him. Who, like, I remember the last time, it was like at least like 8 years ago or something stupid. That was the last time.
Yeah,
like,
more than that.
Track of,
I think the last person that came out at M was maybe Jermaine Dupri when he came out at Eminem. And I think Jermaine was the last one.
It was Whitey's Revenge, Everlast.
Mariah Carey.
Yep,
oh, that's your homeboy, ain't it?
What?
That's your homeboy out there in Boston, man.
Who?
Everlast.
Who? Oh, yeah. Oh, he's not in Boston? I didn't know that.
Oh, my bad. Because I know in the video they had a bunch of Shamrocks and stuff in the first video that came out with House of Pain. So that's why I said that. But, I mean, I respect MGK because to come out at a guy that's known to be a battle rapper before he was a mainstream rapper. MGK, man, he got some big balls right now. And actually, you know what? I take my previous statement back. His name is on the map right now. So my thing is, can he follow up on this? Can he turn this into, let's say, a success? Because when Pusha T, this Drake, Pusha T album had just came out, and, you know, Pusha T, you know, he did some album sales. But when Drake album came out, it was like nobody even thought about Pusha T. It was like you had the Kiki Challenge, you know, this and that, and, you know, so Pusha T actually, to me, he lost. He lost, even though to me he won a diss battle. But he lost overall.
Man.
I think MGK is going to win. MGK has definitely made a name for himself. But I think there's no way for him to. Yeah, but you always know MGK to make like catchy songs, you know, be a PG rapper, la 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 la, you know. But for him to come out this hard, and then when you see the video to go with it, I liked it, man. I liked everything about it. But now I need to see him come up with some more songs that this hard, this grimy, with this lyrical content in it, with this flow. And I think he probably could take his career to another level.
Yeah, this is at an interesting time, because you know why I say it's an interesting time? Because usually, like, these artists want to drop stuff right as the album's coming out, so then the hype around the beat can boost their album sales, like Pusha T did. Anyways, moving on. So these guys like to do that, but both of these guys don't seem like, well, because Eminem's album just come out. Now, he could do this to promote his album, but this is part of the album, because the record, the initial this is in the album. So you promote, your album is already out, and then MGK just came out with an album in 2017. So, I mean, and I'm a big fan of MGK. I haven't heard of him dropping any singles or anything that would tell me that he's about to do this and then lead into dropping an album at the end of 2018. As much as I would love if he did do that, I just haven't heard anything about it. So both of them are at an interesting time in their career to be doing this, because it just seems like neither which one is really for the promotion thing. I mean, I do think that Eminem is definitely trying to get back fans, because after his last album, I think a lot of the fans that are into his old style and like the other way he used to rap didn't like his last album. Me personally, I liked his last album a lot. I'm gonna be honest, I really liked that album a lot, and I had no problem with it. I understand why people didn't like it. I can identify why. But for me personally, nothing, I mean, there wasn't much missing from it. I liked it. He made good records with other artists that I liked, and he did something different on almost every song that I've never heard him do before. So to me, for music, the album was a success, and I think it sold well too. But I think he felt like he disappointed his fans that want to hear his really lyrical, raw stuff. And I think that's what the Kamikaze album is for, to cater to those fans and to not feel like he let them down, which is understandable. But it's just weird that neither of them are at a time where they might be doing this for promotion. So maybe they, I don't know, they got to do, you know, someone's got to pull out their, you know, a Nerf gun or something, pop off.
So basically, in other words, what you're saying is that Eminem made this album for Yaz.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, okay, all right.
You know, one thing though, Keith, nobody knew that Eminem was about to drop this Kamikaze album. There was no leaks about it. There was nothing about this Kamikaze album being dropped. So that's first off. So this is kind of came out of the blue. But you have to think about it. Remember that whole thing during LP2 when what happened with Eminem? He did that whole political thing with Donald Trump and everything, and then all of a sudden, as soon as that happened, he dropped an album right after it. So
yeah, that wasn't LP2. That wasn't LP2. That was
Bizarre.
The one after it. No, I forget what
was
the
Bizarre
album called. That's the one I was just talking about, the one I really liked. Some reason I can't remember the name of it, but it was. I'm gonna find it in a second. But yeah, I know what you mean.
The Rock
he did like a big promotional
Rock
stunt. Nah, you're thinking of two different albums. The Trump thing, when he did the album with Berserk on it, Trump wasn't even in office yet. But when his last album is when he did the cipher when he only rapped about Trump. That album is called Revival.
Yes.
He did that album last year. That's the one I really
yes,
liked.
Yes. Yeah, but you have to keep in mind, like, see, that's what I was getting at. The hype, it just came out of nowhere. Like, he did something big. There's something coming up. Either MGK is about to drop his album, because this is the prime time. This is what everyone does when the prime time. They're like, oh, word,
yeah,
my hype's all the way up. Let me drop this and get mad money for it. So I wouldn't doubt you seeing MGK in the next week dropping his album. But I don't know. I just feel something's coming. Something's coming. Or Eminem's gonna drop a crazy diss back to him, and he's gonna destroy MGK's life. One of the two is gonna happen. Or MGK's career is about to get ruined if Eminem drops a track back. This is scary.
I'm gonna take Keys methodology on this. I think Eminem should respond. I think he should let MGK have his moment. But if MGK does have an album in the lurks that he's cooking up, if he comes back with another diss song on his album, then I think Eminem is within his bounds to strike back and possibly destroy MGK. But can MGK duplicate what he did on this diss track for a whole album, lyrically, musically, you know, with the passion, with the spit game? Can he do that for a whole CD?
That is tough.
I mean, I definitely think we're still in the era of where you can, quote unquote, end somebody's career, because like I just thought about it a minute ago, and without saying nothing, I was like, okay, like realistically, is it the same as it was back when Eminem dissed Ja Rule, and next thing, you know, D12, 50 Cent, and Eminem all dissing Ja Rule, and then Ja Rule falls off the map. Like, not even his career ends. He loses all popularity, so his popularity dies, so career's dead that way, but then he literally just stopped making music. Like, that was it. Like, that's the definition. Like, he stopped trying. Like, there's a difference. Like, you can make music and lose a certain audience, which is kind of like what happened with Meek Mill. Like, don't get it twisted. Meek Mill has a career still. He's probably, you know, he's a millionaire. He's still gonna make. He's making plenty of money still. And the thing is that it's just the coverage of him is different. Like after Drake and Meek Mill, Meek Mill doesn't get as much respect. But his career is fine. It's probably not as big because he's not on records with Drake, and maybe he's, you know, more doing his own thing now because he probably, you know, don't trust other artists and things like that. But I think he's still doing fine. We're not in the – I don't know if we're in the time of killing someone's career to where, like, they're going to stop doing music. I don't know if that's still in play. I mean, because, like, at that time, like, look at the backing that Eminem had to have a beef with somebody versus now. Like, none of that is around. Like, 50 Cent isn't even really around. Like, he's making music, but he's not, you know, in it. Him and Eminem, I haven't heard them together in a while, or D12. So he don't have the backing to really try to end somebody's career.
Okay, let me throw this question out to you guys. Hip hop beef, is it good or bad? Now,
great.
I'm not talking about when they take it to the streets. I'm talking about overall, is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game? You know, does it enhance the game, you know, as far as the music is concerned? Now, I'm going to say for myself personally, I don't mind hip-hop beef if it's two guys on the same level. You know, like when Ice Cube and NWA was going at it, they was on the same level at that time. I don't want to see a beef where you got J. Cole going at Lil Pump, because J. Cole is on a whole different level than Lil Pump. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like to me, like when once again, I'm going to go back to this. When Kendrick did the Control verse, you heard all these rappers coming out going against Kendrick. You had Papoose come out. You had Joel Ortiz come out. You had Mano come out. You had a lot of New York guys come out going at Kendrick because of his verse. So to me, as long as it's bringing lyricism and true skills to the mic, I'm all for it. But if it's, you know, you just putting something out just so you can say you responded, man, just keep that because that's not going to move my needle.
Hey, Lee, do you think MGK and Eminem are on or close to the same level? Now, I know not. Well, hold on. Let me, before you hop on that, keep in mind, I'm talking about lyrically wise, because I know Eminem's a beast. I know that he's one of the best, and no one can really compare to him. But after what I've seen today, after what he can do to demolish a rapper if he really wanted to and he really tried, MGK got some skill, bro. Like, I've been following him for a while, and he's been having some hot songs and hot things, but he never came at artists like this bad. So I feel like there's a whole nother side of MGK that we don't see. And this is what I'm loving.
I think the answer to your question, I would say MGK isn't on the level of Eminem. But with this one song, he has brought so much. He has definitely put a spotlight on himself, probably bigger than any rapper right now in the game. Because he went after He went after the biggest selling rap artist on the planet Earth right now. And nobody can debate that Eminem doesn't sell the most records on the planet Earth because he sells to all kinds, black, white, Asian, Mexican. Eminem is an international superstar. So MGK has definitely put a spotlight on himself. And, you know, sometimes winning a war ain't the thing. Sometimes it's just getting in a fight. And right now, he just got himself in a fight and people looking at him. So his name is out there, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, I
yeah,
but with the point, when you said something, I really want to make this point, and Keith, I'll let you go right on this.
Go ahead.
I just really, you said, is it worth it for, like, these rappers to respond? Is this, like, change the hip-hop industry? Would it? And I believe that this is how the game should go. If someone disses you, you shouldn't be scared and be like, oh, damn, I don't want to comment back because I don't want no beef. No, put the beef on the mic. Let people hear what you got to say. Don't keep it behind closed doors. Let everybody know what's going on. And this is what gets the hype up. This is what gets any artist's hype, is when you call somebody out. Because now it's a whole different ballgame. Like, now everyone getting involved, researching the background. You know, it's like, and it gives both people a lot of popularity, but it should be people on the same level, which I agree with you, because why would I want to give, why would Eminem ever, like, even mention, like, Tekashi 69's name? Because they are both on whole different levels, and they're both, you know, one of them, like, shouldn't even deserve to be on Eminem's platform. But someone like K going after Eminem, or let's just say 50 Cent going after Eminem, just using that hypothetically, like, they're all on the same, like, type of platform. They all have their own base and own popularity, you know? So it's not like they're going to develop a whole different fan base because they already got a good, decent fan base. But, you know, it's like, I believe that's how it should go, just because it starts a whole new thing up. Like, this is what I feel like it's going to end up being. Artists are going to diss one another, and it's going to get hyped. And that's what I like. I like it. It speaks real. It speaks the truth. Instead of this, like, I don't know what type of music been getting released recently, like, with all different types of artists. I don't even know what, like,
yeah,
what they are half, but, like, saying half the time.
But the thing is, this only expands the MGK fan base. I mean, Eminem fan base is already what it is. This only brings more eyes to MGK. So I don't really see, you know, I know Keith's probably going to touch on this, how Eminem can benefit from this, other than, you know, he can tell his fans, I'm not going to sit back and let somebody diss me like that, so I'm coming back. But this brings a whole lot of eyes to MGK. So, Keith, where you at on this? Keith.
Yo.
So where you at on this? You think if Eminem responds is positive, if he doesn't respond is negative, do you think this just is an overall benefit to MGK?
I don't know, because to be honest, it's like, I don't know if the fans that he gains from, like, the fans that are listening to his diss, I feel like the majority of them are not the fans who actually, like, support his actual music. So for him to gain, I don't really know what kind of gain we're looking at here. But to me, I don't know if it's really a gain, because I don't know if those fans are going to keep listening to his music or if they're just going to want to see what happens with the beef. And that's the part about this that I don't like. That's the part about these things that I think is bad for the game, is that people only want to hear the artist in controversy. They don't want to actually, like, get to know the artist after that point. Like, they just want to see, like, oh, when's he going to respond back? And that aspect of it to me is whack, because you're not investing into the artist, and that's what it's supposed to be about at the end of the day. So I think MGK will gain, but I don't know if he'll gain all these fans that are only listening to him because he put a diss to Eminem. I don't think those people will keep listening. I think the fans he had will keep listening no matter what Eminem says. I don't think any of those fans are really going to care. Like myself, I'm not going to care. I'm going to keep listening to MGK, but for what he does and the content that he puts out. Eminem, his status will probably stay the same, no matter if he responds or not. I think he'll stay where he's at, and his fans will stay the same, you know?
Well, you know, this has definitely been a spirited conversation, and I respect everybody's side on this. I mean, one thing about hip-hop, man, hip-hop was built on this. You know, guys going at guys, you know, breakdancers going at breakdancers, DJ battles, things like that. And I like it when hip-hop is authentic and true. And I really, really feel that MGK on this song was transparent, authentic, and definitely true to the song that he put out in response to what Eminem said. Now, will MGK ever be a bigger star than Eminem? Probably not. But is this garnishing him some attention? More than likely. Will this make him a better rapper? I'm hoping so. So we'll see what happens.
I like that point.
Yeah, I think that's a good closeout right there. I don't know. We'll have to keep following up and see what happens. Who knows? Maybe on the next show, as you call back up and give us an update and see where it's at. Oh, give you an update. But, thanks for calling up, bro. We're going to close out the show in the last few minutes right here. And then we'll see you next
thanks,
time.
Thanks, Yaz. Appreciate
you for calling in.
I can't say you're my favorite listener, because there might be other listeners out there that want to call in. So you're one of my favorite callers, dog.
Appreciate you, Lee. I appreciate you, Keith, too. Both of you guys for having me, man. Y'all the best. I love joining
hey, man,
in the conversation.
Thanks, bro.
You guys making it up.
All right, man. I'm good anyway.
No doubt.
Safe.
You too, brothers. Enjoy.
Right,
have
bro.
A good night.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, man. That was good. Hope the people enjoyed it. We're going to get one more in before the UFC card this weekend. Probably get one going on Friday after the weigh-ins, because that's what we usually like to do. And that'll be an interesting show, because the biggest spotlight, I think, right now is on Darren Till.
It's on Darren Till making weight. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Take it away, man.
Yeah, man. Actually, you know what? I love this when we do shows like this, because, you know, we get to go off the top, and it. Normally our show isn't scripted unless we get together and we got a lot to talk about. We might get together, we might come out with a rundown. But tonight's show is one of the shows that I like to do because we don't know what's going to be said or what questions are going to be posed to us, and we just run with a topic. And tonight, that's what we did, and it was a good show. I know our listeners, I know you guys tune in to hear us talk about MMA, some sports stuff, you know. But some nights, you know, people want to call in and they want to get some stuff off their chest. And that's one thing that me and Keith like to pride ourselves on is we're versatile and we can talk about anything at any time. So bear with us tonight and hopefully you enjoy some of the stuff we said. And my man Keith back in school. Good luck. Keep the grind going. And, you know, it'll pay off in the long run. And I'm going to hit y'all with one more thing that my man Keys loved, as I say. And that is positive people with positive energy, yeah, positive results. And with that, I'm signing off for the night. And I'm going to let my man Keys close the show out. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that was so dope. Oh, man, I could listen to that. I think I need to hear that at least once a day now. I need that quote. I need to put that, like, on my wall or something like that just to remind myself every day when I wake up or if I have a bad day to walk by a sign that says that and just to plant that seed in my mind because that is one of the best quotes I ever heard. And I think if more people walk with that idea of mind through life, you'd be, you know, holding your head high more often because – You just realize that the energy that you put out is the energy that will come back to you. And if that's whether negative or positive. And with that being said, I appreciate everybody who calls in. Shout out to our boy Yaz for calling in. No, we appreciate you. And we appreciate, you know, the listeners and you know, whether they be regulars or if it's their first time listening to our show. We appreciate all y'all. And call in and talk with your host anytime. You know, I always have the number to call in the description. 917-889-3251. It's in the description if I just spoke that too fast. And everybody, have a good night. Over and out. Lean Keys, Real Talk. So until next time, which will probably be Friday. See you then.
Yep, Friday. Friday for sure.
There until
Man
make
Keys
will
work it out when we on.
Yeah.
Hey Keys, man.
Sure.
Hey Keys, man. Have a good day in class tomorrow, man. I know you're gonna be boring, being that thing you probably go over the syllabus and stuff. But you know, some teachers like to be assholes on the first day. They might give you an assignment, but get back in your groove, man, to make it happen. And keep my suggestion to you about Twitter in mind that you know use it for what it's for this semester, man. And hey, I got your back. And let's make this happen. And, man, another great show. Another great show. I love
for
this
sure.
tonight.
For sure. I love this one, too, as well. And thank you for those words. I appreciate that. I'm going to go kill it tomorrow. Everybody, wish me luck. Over and out, Lane Keys.